Do we have, plenty of time for comments and questions. Steve has the microphone in the back and has promised not to hog it.
This is not for me.
Comments, questions? Well, if nobody has one, I have one to start with, which is, I'd love to hear, it's fascinating to hear you talk about these collaborations and cooperations, and would you care to imagine what the political and cultural possibilities are as you go forward, and would you make any recommendations for those of us who don't have this agreement and synthesis?
Sorry.
Even you, Bill.
Partnerships are difficult. They can be difficult. Really, I mean, the only way to do it is just sit down and work with each other and talk to each other and listen to each other and negotiate. They also, I mean, certainly in the UK context, they also demand means of funding as well, and that's absolutely vital. In our context, I mentioned the National Lottery, and that's been absolutely vital. It provided seed corn for an awful lot of the work that we've done. It enabled us centrally to work with people locally in ways we simply hadn't been able to do before, and that was very important. A downside of it is the normal project sustainability issue, in that it was always project-based. Projects begin, they go through their cycle, they come to an end, and it can be very difficult to then continue. And then continuing those relationships when you've built those up can then be jeopardised. And certainly A2A has now come to the end of its cycle. And we are now, as it were, struggling to keep ourselves together to be able to move on to what we want to do.
I'll answer for the two conversion programs that the Ministry of Culture mandated the French National Library for. First of all, the Palin project, that was quite easy. We had a database of MARC records, and we used a solutions provider to transform that into EAD. That involved in total, I think, maybe 10 people. And we didn't involve the libraries, the partner, so that was easy in a way. I mean, as long as the Ministry of Culture one day decides that a program has to be completed and mandates the National Library to do it, then we'll go through the motions of doing it. For the CGM, for example, apparently, the Ministry of Culture decided that we shouldn't contact the libraries, or the 450 or 500 libraries, because if we did, it would take years to have everyone agree to the solution to be used. So basically, the way to do it, I guess, is well, how we did it, and it worked fine, was get a group of experts. 15 people maximum, who will end up agreeing on things, and then from there on just apply what has been agreed upon. Of course, if you work on a large scale, you cannot involve everyone. So I guess the way it worked for us is some experts was first able to convince the Ministry of Culture that things should be done this way with the AD. From there on, once the Ministry of Culture signed down on the bottom line, then that group has not all power, but has legitimacy enough to actually do the work. I don't know if that answers you.
I wish. Oh, my God, I wish. Comments, questions?
This is a question for Florent and Fabienne. If you had the CGM project to do over again, would you not focus on the volumes and the institutions, but rather on the individual records within the volumes.
I see Fabienne shaking her head. No. It was a huge amount of work. As I mentioned on Thursday, we were on my team, 2.5 people, for 3 years to deal with 96 volumes, which may represent, I don't remember, 150,000 records and about 60,000 pages of printed records. So going to that level of detail, you know, going to the record was not something we could do. As for organizing the structure of the finding aids, we had to structure them by institution. That was a clear requirement from the Ministry of Culture, because the idea is then to redistribute these finding aids to the to each of the libraries or repositories. I don't know, Fabienne, if...
Well, there is also one advantage in doing it the way we did, is that it avoids a lot of repetition of data in the upper tags, right? And it makes for lighter files, which is not bad.
I'm interested to hear a little bit more about the reference made to the National Archives Public Record Office catalog and the links to a wiki for public comment, how that was done, and perhaps are both the catalog and the wiki searchable from a single interface, or are they pretty separate?
Obviously, I'm no longer there, and things will have moved on. It's still a beta version. It was a very soft launch. I think it's fair to say to begin with, most of the wiki articles had been done by staff as opposed to users in order to pump prime, as it were. It does seem to be working, and they do now seem to be getting user, indeed bits of user community, as it were, beginning to use it. It's based on Wikimedia software. Nothing special about that. They are completely separate systems. The catalog system has persistence to catalog records, and it's simply a link is based on that. So as I said, there's the summary catalog record, and at the bottom there's a sentence which says something like, have you anything to contribute or say, click here with a little your archives link. That then opens up the typical Wikimedia page with edit and so on and so forth. Looks very similar, and then people can add their comments or whatever they want to say. Early on, there was talk of integrating it into the catalogue to a much greater extent. Some in senior management, yes, we're going to do this, though they will start doing the cataloguing. We had conversations, and that wasn't what happened to begin with, although there is some push for that to sort of begin to happen. We are, they are, beginning to pull some of those modifications, some of those corrections, as it were, off. Typically, the decision was taken, the wiki was done without really any thought to what it was going to mean for us in the cataloguing area to have all these corrections coming through to us. But that doesn't seem to have sunk them as yet, anyway. But they are as things are kept very separate. There isn't a wiki page for every catalog entry, obviously. There will be millions of them. But as it were, one is sort of, when somebody does that click, one is, as it were, created on the fly. So they may have issues eventually of the size that might get to. Did that help?
There have been a number of sessions here talking about the impact of large-scale digitization programs on the level of encoding. And I'm wondering if any of you have any thoughts on how this might proceed in your respective countries, or have you such digitization plans?
In France, there is a national plan for digitization, so there is an help for institutions which have projects of digitization, and it, they have to make annual proposals, and there is an evaluation regarding the interest of the fund to be digitized, the topics, there are topics about which are related to genealogical research and so on. But I'm sorry, I can't say any.
Certainly, in the UK, we don't have a national plan. I mean, we don't have quite that central push. There is digitisation, of course, going on. It tends either. I mean, where I am within the British Library and probably the research libraries within the universities, a lot of it's been very boutique. So it's been single manuscripts or smaller collections of manuscripts. It's been done in glorious detail with TI transcriptions and so on and so forth. That approach can be great if it can be funded for important things. That's wonderful, but it's obviously not mass digitization. The British Library has now begun to talk about mass digitization, but for us in manuscripts, we're still talking about very basic records at item level, though, rather than, I think, moving on to some of the things that I've heard this week, which I'm going to take back, I think. Otherwise, certainly, again, a great deal of digitization has been done for family history sources, but it's been done on a very different model, because it's been done on a market model. And so, in a sense, that's been kept separate from our cataloguing initiatives, and we will have a problem as we move forward about how we begin to link and bring those things together, or if we can.
Well, we have, obviously, at the National Library, we have a mass digitization program for books. Obviously, we're trying to counter the Google project, if anyone's heard about it. manuscripts are... Really, they haven't been part of it. When it's been boutique, again, digitization, if it has at all. So, and there are other projects that are being, they've been so boutique that they're taking the CGM records and detailing them so that they have one description per image. So sometimes you have several images per page within a manuscript. So for each little detail of that image. So it's not mass digitization. Maybe we will see something through the National Portal of Medieval Manuscripts. But so far, I can't see a program like that. So which type of encoding we would then use, I don't know. But for the medieval manuscripts, we already have most of the records. It's nothing new that is being digitized. It's stuff that we already have records for.
All of the medieval people are probably least likely to do less process, as it were.
Just to hog the mic, I have one more quick one. I'm fascinated by this notion of abandoning the fall and these changes in choices of description. And I wonder if any of you have a chance to think about the way standards and especially EAD have started to change our practices, and then actually in your case, you reorganized your institution based on a standard description and encoding practice. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious about, how do you make change from the bottom up?
In the French archives, we have a tradition for describing records. We have very detailed description as at the lowest levels, and so the notion of title and scope content was not a notion evident for us. And so we have to reorganize our descriptions, to divide them, to do a part in the title and another part in the scope content. This is an example of an EAD adaptation.
I think, as I said, we haven't, it hasn't changed our descriptive practice. What we've done is we've used it and other tools to automate the practice we have, which is very much ISO-G based. The fond argument has gone on. It does seem to be raising its head again. The fond is under attack yet again. It really depends on where you are, and the discussion seems to be revolving around whether it really is a part of the descriptive hierarchy or whether it's purely part of the custodial hierarchy. And in that, maybe the answer is that for those archives that work at Ceres, those business materials, those administrative materials, that's fine. But where we have large collections of medieval manuscripts, well, hey, we still need some form of collection level, aggregated description. And we should have systems that can deal with both of those things. That's my feeling about it.
Thank you very much. Please join me in thanking our maverick panel.